You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Yeah. That's right. Welcome in, welcome back, folks, to a way too early reactions to the little bit of spring football we've seen, but everybody's excited about. We got to do an edition of the OA's Irish Spring Show. As always, thank you for being here. You can find the program on YouTube. Do subscribe if you haven't yet. Give the video a thumbs up. That helps Yanni Boy out as well. Notifications on, that way you're alerted every time a new episode drops. I know you don't want to miss it. Twitter, search bar, Always Irish, rat, Always Irish, shake. Emails, Always Irish, nd at gmail.com. I can't even spit out my own email. Audio only, anywhere you want it, you can get it. If you don't want to see my face, I don't blame you. Call in lines 312-900-8815. You dialed up, tell Johnny all you've heard and seen. Instagram, Facebook, Always Irish Inc., USA Today, Irish Wire, read all about it, patreon.com/AlwaysIrish, the former captain, leading tackler, by the way, Mike Goolsby. We're breaking it down by the paywall. There's a lot going on. Now that football's back, we're back into spring. We're on the grind. Thanks to everybody who's there, and we appreciate you. So, there hasn't been a ton to see. There hasn't been a lot to watch, but there's already some takeaways from Notre Dame spring session. Here's how I'm starting this. And I'm not going to stop repeating it until people get it. Take anything the coaches say and what the beat writers say with a grain of salt all spring. That's it. That's my message. It blows my mind how so many people just take for gospel everything that's written by any beat writer in anything the coaches say in spring. You can't possibly be that naive. There are angles. There are narratives. There are preferred narratives. Like, this is a business, you guys. So that's number one. Understand it. Oh, John, what are you saying? That our coaching staff lies, whatever. No, it's called doing your job. It's called doing your job. And you have certain things you want to get out there for different reasons. Like, understand the business aspect of this. Marcus Freeman is never going to get up there and give you 100% of what's going on accurately. You know why? It would be irresponsible of him. It would be dereliction of his coaching duties to get at the podium and tell me in my basement everything that's going on behind the scenes at Notre Dame football. Not reality, you guys. Wake up. Wake up. I should not know the truth of everything that's going on behind those doors in the Goog and in the locker room. Neither should you. So don't think you're getting the full story from the media and the coaching staff. That is not a uniquely Notre Dame thing. That goes for everybody. That goes for the whole country. That's how these things go. That needs to be said before we get into any of this. Okay. And again, this is not a negative. This is, I am not saying, oh my God, this is a bad. No. This is called how you do the business in college football. Wake up. Wake up. Take everything that's said at that podium and written about it with a grain of salt. Okay, so let's get into this. Early things that are on my mind. Number one is, there was some redoing with some of the staff stuff. Bowden now, which is, what do they call it? Assistant director, player percent. That's basically what the GM role is that he was being offered by Michigan. And so you knew, or you should have known, when Michigan approached him with that role and everything, and he stayed at Notre Dame, that there would be a change in his responsibilities or title to reflect that he's doing that here, whatever. So it's good to see that happen. You know what else was very interesting? In Mickens with the DBs and that kind of stuff. Max with the linebackers, that stuff we all, you know, whatever. But I thought it was interesting that he mentioned about Dylan McCullough. He's going to be a head coach soon. I think the writing is on the wall, and Marcus even knows. Whatever it is, a Mac opportunity, whatever. It sounds like Freeman understands that some point in the near future, McCullough is going to be a head coach somewhere. And so when he says that openly, you know, that is something I believe that he says, because they've been going after McCullough and Notre Dame's held them up. It seems like we all need to accept he's going to be head coach somewhere very soon. So I thought that was very forthcoming of Marcus. So, and I'm glad to see Chad get taken care of. He serves an important role at Notre Dame. And then I believe, who is it? Dre Brown moved into his role as recruiting director, who's been under Bowden. That all works out. So let's get into the on-the-field stuff. Number one, and again, this is not a whole month work of things to consider after spring ball. This is just early gut reactions to what you've seen and heard. The roster's getting deeper, more athletic, and more well-rounded. That's number one. That's number one. It's not really even a debate. You just look at what's going on from the little windows in it. There's just more little bright spots and more of them in different position groups all over. The roster's getting deeper, more athletic, and more well-rounded. How many more wins does that translate to? I don't know how to calculate that. I'm just telling you, on the baseline starting this out, it's obvious the roster looks better and there's more to work with. Number two. More year one, year two guys may end up playing a lot of meaningful snaps this year. They're just too good to keep off the field. And this doesn't have to be full-time starters taking 90% of the snaps. It doesn't have to be that. Some of these guys can have very specific niche roles while they're young, where they don't have to think of everything, but have some packages with some unique roles and situations down a distance, whatever it is, package-wise, to where they can contribute and make a really good contribution, but not get overwhelmed by everything going on. Needing to know everything as a true freshman or a true sophomore, coming off a redshirt, whatever. But I think there's going to be more year one, year two guys that are going to play because they're too good not to, and they're too athletic to not see the field, and that is great. This is the fastest way to close the gap. Everybody in Notre Dame, how do you close the gap? The best way to close the gap is the easiest way. Recruit guys good enough that they can play early for you. And Notre Dame's doing more of that. You need a few of those guys on each side of the ball in every class moving forward that have a chance to play early. That's how you mix up that depth chart and create competition throughout. In today's fast-paced digital age, seamless and secure transactions for your business aren't a luxury. They're an absolute necessity. That's where your friends at Paisley step in. Paisley's in the business of making your business run smoother, not just as a payment processor, but as a true partner in your success and growth. Paisley's platform is intuitive, the fees are transparent, security ironclad, processing instant, and the support team is unmatched. If you're looking to take your business to the next level anywhere in the United States, call one of the all-stars of Always Irish Radio, Chicago's very own Tom Frawley at 773-332-7742 or email him tom@paisleypartners.com. For a personalized payment processing consultation, addressing your unique business needs. And be sure to tell them Always Irish sent you. Number three, KVA, man. I'm going back to number two. KVA, he just might be too big of a natural to keep him off the field. He just has such good instincts and is big enough and physical enough he could go out there and do it. Like, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Can Bryce Young, with his body that's mature beyond his years, find a pass rush role or something? Like, I don't know, but more of these young guys are going to play. Cam Williams going to have to put, like, give it to me. Not out of necessity, but out of they're good enough, they can hang. Number three. The quarterback thing is going to be a narrative all spring. You got four guys we all want to see more of and we all like. It's kind of wild. This dynamic alone highlights the biggest difference to me right off the bat between the Kelly and the Freeman era. Kelly had multiple years where I went to the spring game more interested in Miller Lights than seeing the quarterbacks. There were none I was interested in. Zero. Zero. None. Multiple years I would go to that blue and gold game just looking to have fun and be at Notre Dame for a day, not even wanting to look at this, because I knew even if a guy looked good for Notre Dame or whatever, it's nowhere near what you need to be nationally to get Notre Dame over the hump or close or anything. Nobody can tell me I'm wrong, because none of those quarterbacks have been able to put Notre Dame on their back, will us to victory. None in recent vintage. And I don't mean will us to victory against Virginia Tech, you know, down Virginia Tech, no. I mean the biggest game moments where you have a chance to change narratives. No Notre Dame quarterback's done that. So there's been a bunch of years where I roll into town not excited, genuinely not excited and scared to see our quarterbacks, because I knew none of them were going to be close to good enough. Now you got four guys everybody's interested in, really thinks can compete. That is a 100% upward arrow shift in the right direction. Now, it's going to be complicated for the staff. They got a bunch of personalities. How do you keep all these guys happy? How do you manage these competitions? All of this. It's going to get complicated. And again, we're in this awkward dynamic of, do you really expect me to believe the guy you're paying fat NIL money to come in here is really not going to start if he's healthy? I don't believe it. Just like I said with Hartman, I don't believe it. That's the way this goes. You don't have to like it. I didn't say you had to like it. I'm telling you how it is. Oh, John. What are you, Freeman got up there and said they're all competing and we're not in a run. Yeah, I know. What do you want him to say? What do you want Freeman to say? Riley Leonard, we gave a bunch of money to. Everybody else is riding the bench. Now go out there and compete all spring. Join me in the real world. Join me in the real world. But if you want me to think any of these guys are going to be the starter other than Riley Leonard, assuming he's healthy, no. No, it ain't happening. So the quarterback thing's going to be interesting, because you want all four of these guys to get a lot of run. I don't know how that's possible to keep them all happy, but that's the staff's problem. And it's a good one to have. It's a really good one to have. Instead of me going, do we even have one quarterback I like? I'm going, man, we got four that a bunch of people like. It's a good problem to have. And not one I have to figure out. The staff's got to figure it out and have a really good, tight evaluation and on all these guys and understand their own pecking order, okay? So that's how I see the quarterback thing. I just, that's what I ask you. When I say, what you really believe anybody else is going to start other than Riley Leonard if he's healthy, and then you say to me in the comments, John, you're an idiot. Didn't you see Freeman's presser? Everybody's competing. Nothing's decided. Again, wake up. Join me in the real world. I don't know what you want the guy to say. This is all done. It's Riley Leonard. We gave him a bunch of money. And then expect the other guys to go play their ass off? That makes no sense. Understand the dynamic Freeman's got to work in to frame all this the right way. You don't have to like it. Just telling you the way it's going to go. And again, I am supremely more interested in who's going to win the backup job this year than anything else. I want to see how that goes. I want to see who ends up the odd man out and what they decide to do. Moving on, the defense. I look at this as looking for finishing touches. The defense is in a really different spot than the offense. I think they're looking, coming off a top 10 year, looking at how you get in the top five. This includes figuring out the linebacker roles. Who's the best fit for what role? Who can they trust? How do you, it's the age old thing of how do you compare reliability with a less reliable guy that's younger but way more athletic? Those are some risk management assessments the staff's going to have to make. Figuring out some of those roles in that middle group is going to be a big deal. How about pass rush? Overall, I think people feel really solid about that D-line, but I need more reliable disruption without sacrificing resources on the back end to get home. That's like one of the things that I need more of out of that front is to be able to disrupt the quarterback without bringing safeties in and having extra numbers. Your front guys doing it on their own. Who could fill those roles? Figure that out. And number five, O-line. I want to feel better about this position group than I do. There's just too much moving around and uncertainty and unproven youth. A lot of upside and all that. I'm not saying there isn't. But as we sit and start, too much uncertainty, moving around all over. I don't know who the leader is that I could trust. I don't. Too many question marks for me to feel really comfortable. It's just not ideal to have that much turnover. This may be my biggest ongoing concern right now. Just because there's so many moving parts. You're not replacing one guy or whatever. There's a lot of movement. Both bookends and figuring out what you want to do inside. I mean, it's a rebuild. And again, they don't have to be perfect early on next year. You have to be good enough to win while you're growing. I always take heat for that. John, you're expecting the O-line to be gelled right away and be perfect. No, I'm not. You do not have to be perfect. You have to be good enough to win the day while you're growing. So, my overall takeaway would be, my first blush glance at this is the team's getting better. There's more, a bigger pool of truly competitive college athletes that could contribute here and help and rotate in, push guys, more competition. I think that's my early overall thing. The roster's getting better, and that gives you flexibility and depth. And those are things Notre Dame has not had. And so how does that all shape out? I don't know, but I'm excited to find out. You guys let me know what did I miss? What do you think about how these things are going to shape out? Let me know.